Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, the routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for the play-by-play call of the day. It involves Kentucky with Joe Chessator.
Bristow leads it, and bam, climbs the left. Farnham, that was a legitimate one. No step stool needed. Oh, man, can he elevate?
Play-by-play call of the day last night, Joe Chessator, and Al Farnham on the show. Just had Farnham on the show, what, 2 weeks ago? Something like that. So, Sean Farnham was on, what, 2-3 weeks ago, I think we had him on, right?
Yeah, he brought him. He was awesome.
Yeah. No, he had the fastball working that day. All right, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, joins us. Ben, they played almost the entire game last night with the lead. It was nearly a wire-to-wire performance. For a young team, what does it mean to play in a game like that and play with the lead?
Oh, I mean, I think it makes everything easier. I think it's something you have to learn how to do. I think you look at this team and the number of comebacks that they've made, that the sort of effort and a bit of luck that you need to make a comeback is one sort of skill set that you have to learn, and playing with the lead is another. But I think at the same time, you've seen time and time again that when this team plays confident, when they're making their shots, and really when those two things are going together and they're getting a lead, they play pretty well. And you know, I never imagined that Penn State would win a game where it shot 2 of 18 from three. But,
right,
you know, credit to these guys, credit to those young guys who really did some of the little things that they hadn't been doing the past few games. They rebounded better. You know, up until the last few minutes, they shot free throws better, shot free throws great in the first half. And those little things like that, you know, that makes playing with the lead easier no matter who you're playing against, but certainly when they're making shots with confidence, especially inside the arc, you know, they're a much different team than they've been the past few games.
Let's talk about Nazir Bostic for a moment. There are four players on this team from Roman Catholic High School in Philadelphia. Shep Garner, the older player, is a junior, and then obviously Lamar Stevens and Tony Carr. They've had, obviously, the bulk of the publicity. Nazir Bostic has had to work harder to find his time. What have the others told you about Bostic and his work ethic?
Oh, I mean, you know, you talked to Tony and Lamar after the game last night, and they had nothing but good, you know, good things to say about Nazir's, you know, how hard he works. They said his nickname is Horse for just sort of, you know, the effort that he puts in, and you see that. I mean, the rebound that he gets and that put-back basket that he gets late in the game, you know, you can look across the box score afterwards and see that, you know, Lamar's got 25 points, Michael Watkins got 10, Tony Carr's doing a little bit of everything, but those baskets, those key baskets, especially with the team in foul trouble, that put back by Nazir, that really a tough rebound to get, and he gets it in. Those are big plays in the game, especially in late stages, and I think everyone who's spent time around the program, and especially the players themselves, see the amount of work that he puts in behind the scenes, and knowing that, you know, he's a guy who certainly brings something to the table, but he knows and they know that he's farther down the pecking order in the rotation, and that's just how it is, that, you know, you get a guy who's got an opportunity to make an impact in a game, especially a game where, you know, some of his teammates are in foul trouble, and he can go out there and give you solid 12 minutes and a lot of effort. You know, that speaks volumes to the kind of attitude that he's got, you know, sitting on the bench, because there's a lot of ways you can come off the bench. And certainly, you know, the 12 minutes that he gave Penn State and that basket and that rebound that he gave Penn State, that's as big as anything they had last night.
Yeah, I thought it was the biggest basket of the game was the one he scored to put them up by six. Now I want to get to Mike Watkins. What do you think it meant to Watkins that he started last night and didn't come off the bench in terms of getting him mentally engaged early?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's seeing a guy who's continually maturing, and not that Mike was immature at the beginning of the season, but I think, you know, you're so excited after you spend a year off not playing that you finally get a chance to play Division I basketball in the Big Ten, and he's such an emotional guy and a high-energy guy that, you know, I think he's been coming off the bench as much to kind of let him get his nerves in check and everything. as anything else. And I think when you see him start and have the sort of day that he, or the sort of evening that he had, you know, he goes perfect from the free throw line. And I thought really he was the most physical he's been down low all year. Certainly he's got the blocking presence and the rebounding, but I think asserting himself, and getting to the free throw line and getting, you know, the baskets that he got, you know, you can say, yeah, he had 10 points and six of them came from the free throw line, but I think you can't say enough about sort of the confidence that that game has for a guy like Mike Watkins to start to go out and do what you want to do, be able to do it successfully. And more importantly, you know, he picked up four fouls. I think I picked up four fouls by the end of the game last night, but I think all things considered, you know, he was able to be a constant contributor to that game from start to finish, and that's the sort of thing you need to see from him.
How tough has the officiating part been, in your opinion, watching it? I mean, you can look at replays and see that some are right, some are wrong. Has there been an inconsistency that's bothered you this year?
I thought I joked with someone at halftime that Penn State had gotten so many calls in the first half that it, you know, you feel like the 50-50 calls don't always go Penn State's way, and they seem to get so many in the first half that they were bound to get in trouble in the second. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, the free throws ended up being, you know, actually in Penn State's favor.
Right.
Some of that was the fouling down the stretch. But I think the one thing that I've noticed is that the arm barring and the hand checking, there was an emphasis a year or two ago when they changed that rule. It kind of shifted away from being called every time someone makes contact. And I felt like the past couple games, last night in particular, there were some calls that you look at it and go, yes, you know, maybe by the rule book that's a foul, maybe that is something they're trying to limit in the game, but at the same time you kind of felt like they had laxed a little bit, had shied up on not calling that all the time. And some of that comes with a young team. I think, you know, fouling is as much positioning and athleticism and getting in the right place at the right time as it is anything else.
Agreed.
And I think when you've got a, you know, a team that sometimes, you know, through no fault of their own, maybe a step behind just because they haven't seen everything there is to be seen, you're going to get some of those fouls. But I do think at times there's been inconsistencies, but, you know, basketball is so much a give and take game with the fouls that I think ultimately, you know, as long as you're making your free throws and you're not fouling the other team way more than you're getting fouled, you know, you can't complain too much.
All right, so when you watch last night's performance and you see what they can be, what do you think it's going to take, Ben, for consistency? Where, you know, you get this great flash with Michigan State, you get a great flash with Maryland, that triple overtime game with Indiana was an epic kind of game where both teams grow. What's it going to take to though, be consistent with this? Is it just pure age and growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's most of it. I think you have to look at games like last night and as a team go, you know, how do we bottle up that kind of effort? Because I think one of the biggest things about that game last night wasn't so much, you know, I believe that Maryland ended up winning the rebounding battle technically, but I felt like Penn State got a lot more of those 50-50 balls, of those key rebounds that they needed that they hadn't gotten the past few games. And there's moments like that that I think help mature a team when they realize, you know, Tony Carr said earlier in the week that Pat Chambers yells possession between every free throw, and when he got here, he didn't understand why or what that meant, and now he realizes that these Big Ten games are coming down to single possessions, to single points, and you've seen that all year. And I think, you know, for a young team, you just have to learn about the kind of energy and effort that it takes to play at that level and to play at a high level. And I think, you know, they're still learning how to do that. Certainly you see flashes. I guess I was full of jokes last night, but I mentioned to someone else that them losing to Rutgers and then beating Maryland all in the same week was probably the least surprising thing that could happen for this team. And I think that really speaks to just sort of the up and down nature of having a young group. And I think as soon as they learn that, you know, the effort that they had last night and the confidence that they had last night, if you play games like that, you're going to win more often than not. And, you know, at the end of the day, you got to make shots. And, you know, they've been able to do that in the games that they've won.
They're going to play Illinois next, a team that in the first half of the game here, they were terrific. Couldn't have played really any better. Then in the second half, Illinois found a few things and came on. What about the matchup on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that it's on the road is always going to present challenges, especially for a young team. And that place is always, you know, tough to play regardless of how good Illinois is doing. But I think, you know, you've got to keep an eye on guys like Malcolm Hill. He's been around, you know, it feels like he's been around as long as Trimble has, and they've been around for, you know, it seems like they're the longest one-and-done players to play 10 years each. You know, the Big Ten's had in a while, but I think, you know, Penn State's got to remember how they played in that first half and remember, I think, more about the mistakes they made in the second half of that game to kind of limit it. You've got to figure that Illinois is going to play better at home. They're going to shoot better because they didn't shoot very well in the first half here at the Jordan Center.
Right.
So you've got to find a way to bring. I thought, you know, to go back to last night, I thought that defensive effort was terrific. And I think if you bring defense on the road, and defense usually travels, you know, Penn State's going to have a shot to win any game it's got left on the schedule. And I think, you know, if they play with the defensive effort and the rebounding effort that they had last night, regardless of how they're playing offensively, they're going to have a chance in this game.
This conference at the moment, let's talk about that. It seems like there's a window of opportunity, not just to move this year, but to really move next year, which is a rarity. The blue bloods usually are the blue bloods in this conference. What's happened in this conference that's maybe allowed those who are fighting to move up and the blue bloods to not quite be in the same spot?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, basketball, well, really any sport is cyclical, especially, you know, in college where the rosters change consistently year after year. And I think one of the things that Penn State hasn't been able to take advantage of and might be able to take advantage of now is the fact that Penn State's roster, for the most part, year in and year out, has been shades of the year prior, whereas some of these, you know, the Michigan States and Wisconsin's and Maryland's have done a pretty good job reloading, and there's some chemistry that you have to figure out there. But at the end of the day, if you've got a really good recruiting class, and you're committing to Wisconsin or Maryland or Purdue, you're probably going to figure it out, and they have. And I think you look at some of these teams, and they are going to, you know, you have to figure that Michigan State's going to lose some guys. They've been up and down to begin with this year. Wisconsin's probably going to lose some guys. Maryland's going to lose some guys. Purdue, and Penn State's going to come back with a young team that's going to have a lot of experience. And I think because of that, you know, at the end of the day, freshmen are freshmen, and experienced players are experienced players. And I think the fact that the Big Ten, you know, certainly Wisconsin's a dominant team. Maryland is probably not as good as they are on paper, but still on the top half of the Big Ten. Purdue is a very good team, but I think ultimately you look at the rest of the conference, and there's an opportunity, like you said, to shuffle around. And I think the biggest thing that Penn State is going to look at next year is say, you know, we've got this team that's 5-7 right now, or whatever they end up finishing at the end of the year. We went that well in the Big Ten with a bunch of guys who had never done it before, and now we're all coming back against a bunch of teams that are going to have to reload and figure things out. And that's an opportunity to sort of get that momentum going. Where Penn State ends up next year is anybody's guess, but certainly, probably more so than the past few years, you see an opportunity for Penn State to get to that top third. And if the recruiting continues like it has, to maybe even stay there.
Now, I want to ask you nationally what your viewpoint is. It seems like there is no dominant team this year, and I've had enough people now tell me that don't lay down on Gonzaga. What's your thought on the fact that it doesn't appear there's any dominant team this year, and what does that mean for the game?
Well, I think it's fun. You actually, you know, you go across the street, and I talk to some of the Penn State hockey players about the fact that a bunch of number one teams that have been ranked number one in college hockey have lost in the month of January and February, and they say that that's good for the sport, and certainly college hockey and college basketball are in different, very different boats. But I think any time that you have a bunch of teams that can run for a title, a bunch of teams, you know, just looking at the rankings, it seems like everyone in the top 10 has got three or four losses outside of Gonzaga. It is kind of funny, though, because no one ever talks about Gonzaga until you're turning on the TV at 10:30 at night to see what's on, and you realize that, you know, they're undefeated because, of course, they are, and they're, you know, they're right, playing really good basketball. But I think, you know, Villanova is a good team. Kansas and Louisville have all showed flashes. You know, and Duke, for all of the inconsistencies that they've had, you know, they're a team, you know, you have to like in March just because it's March and because they always sort of figure it out. Kentucky, even though they're 18-5 and down at 15, you know, it has been a team that's shown flashes as well. So you don't know. But I think ultimately, you know, when you've got a bunch of teams that can go and make a run at it, you know, for me as a casual, well, not a casual observer, but as a guy who doesn't have a horse in the race, it's certainly a lot more fun, especially, you know, as March comes around.
Well, watch for Saturday, because Saturday is going to be very important for Gonzaga. They're going to play at St. Mary's on Saturday, and that is going to be, I think that's going to be one of the big games of the weekend. I mean, if you haven't seen Gonzaga play, St. Mary's is really good. The game is at St. Mary's. Gonzaga wins that, they will end the regular season undefeated. All right.
Yeah, that's always a fun game. They don't have Patty Mills to save them this year, but you can never turn down that rivalry.
Ben, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I just checked out where we're staying for the Big Ten tournament. Not bad. This isn't bad at all. I like this. It's right, it's like 3-4 blocks from Constitution Avenue. Near the Capitol, near the Ellipse, Washington Monument, Lincoln Memorial. Very nice. And this is good. This will work out just fine. All right. Let's bring in the Chief now, Dave Ritchie. They've got a big showdown tonight, Shikellamy does, at Central Mountain. A chance to find out what the Chief thinks. Dave, welcome.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, Steve. Thanks for the invite.
Dave, let's start with this. When you've watched Shikellamy play the last three games, so let's get a trend here. What's trending right?
Well, several things. They're getting a lot of good work out of their bigs inside. Derek Bussey and Darrell have just done an outstanding job of rebounding, but Lyles has really come on strong scoring. He had 22 points one game. I think last night, or on Monday night, he had 18. With Chris Tasker and in there also at a forward position, they do rebound very well. They do have a tendency once in a while to play volleyball with the basketball, you know, from one side to the other. But for the most part, they've been doing an outstanding job at both ends rebounding. The other,
give me an,
okay,
go, yo, ahead,
go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dave.
The other thing, Tate Krankowski is what was counted to be one of the better scorers on the team. And unfortunately for Tate, he had a bad ankle injury, and he's just now getting back to being confident. And in the game on Monday night in the third quarter, he hit 11 points in 2 minutes, and three threes really helps you out. And you could just see his confidence building. So he's doing a great job of scoring now. And we have Hunter Dodge and Nate Rivera. The guards have always done an outstanding job of running the offense. I think the kids have gotten a lot of confidence. They have three wins in a row, and you know, this is going to be a tough hole with haul with Central Mountain, Lewisburg, and Southern Columbia to finish the season. But not those teams are all good, but I think these kids can pull it together and win.
Something that's usually difficult for young teams, especially high school teams, defensive rotations. Where's Shikellamy there?
Well, they're doing an outstanding job. I've watched several times. One of the hardest things to do is if you're playing man-to-man and the guard is on the opposite side and you're playing two passes away, if somebody sneaks somebody in on the baseline, our guards have been doing a nice job of dropping down and helping out in those positions. I think that is one thing that Shikellamy has. They've got exceptional speed. They have a young man by the name of Ajani Uhuru, all right, who can take off from almost half court and take four steps and have a layup. And he uses that speed on defense, too. Steps in, intercepts a lot of passes. If you try to throw that cross-court pass or you try to backdoor anybody, the Braves have been doing a nice job of intercepting. That's been a real strong point all year long.
What does it take now to win against Central Mountain tonight? This should be a pretty good matchup.
Well, there's a young man for Central Mountain. Everhart is his name, and he is just an outstanding scorer. And they did a decent job at home against him, but he's probably one of the premier basketball players in our league. He has to be stopped. They're very solid, very senior loaded as far as experience goes, and they're just going to have to play probably their best game. They cannot get off to a bad start. The last two games, they scored 18 points in the first half and 15 points in the first half, but then came back to score almost 60, so they had a 45-point second half. If they do that against Central Mountain, the Braves probably will be in trouble because it'll be catch-up, 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 and that's going to be tough if you get behind Central Mountain by that many points.
7:09 tonight, the game will be on the air. 7:30 will be the tip-off. The Chief will be there with Sean Carey tonight and a mystery guest.
Hey, it's always a this is one of my favorite games because Sean comes down and he's with us. And, you know, Sean knows just about everybody in that gymnasium, and people are going by and talking. You don't feel like a stranger with Sean around, especially up at the Central Mountain Gymnasium.
As opposed to the stuffed shirt, the suit.
Well, when we go to Central Columbia, that's, you know, Kevin has a banner up on the wall. I do not have any banners as a player hanging at the high school, but Kevin does have a bowling banner for a couple of championships, so we always check that out.
Yep.
No banners for me either.
Thank you, Steve.
Dave, thank you. Yes, the bowling banner.
But it's 300 underneath Kevin's name on that banner.
Yeah, but I don't think it's fair to put someone's weight down. Oh, that was the score?
Right.
Well, don't I feel sheepish?
Imagine yourself behind the wheel of the 2017 Lincoln MKZ with its refined 400 horsepower twin turbo V6, its effortless power, and the conversation quiet interior for a sense of serenity, a retractable panoramic roof for more sky than any other luxury sedan. It's like that. The exhilarating new 2017 Lincoln MKZ. Get your new Lincoln MKZ today with exceptional limited time offers, including a $1,500 retail premium bonus cash certificate and 0% for 36 months at your home for affordable American luxury. Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. We're online at sunburylincoln.com. Financing with Lincoln AFS with approved credit.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Boy, McGranahan's arguing with everybody now. Wow. All right. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15. And Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to Dave Ritchie. And also to BenJonesStateCollege.com. I mean, have they left yet?
They're still in the building.
Well, if the suit's there, he could stop by for a moment. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. Michael Jordan took a shot at the Golden State Warriors for winning 73 last year, but not winning the title. Okay. Let's keep in mind this is from the owner and general manager of the Charlotte Hornets, who have taken sometimes two and three seasons to win 73 games combined. Not that we haven't noticed. But he kept himself in the headlines. That's good. Good for him. All right. Penn State basketball won last night over Maryland. It was a big win for them last night. Coming off a poor performance against Rutgers. And they come off of that and they put together a performance like last night. They held Maryland to only 34% from the field last night. Penn State's now 9-0 and holding teams under 40%. They held Maryland to 64 points last night. Penn State's 10-0 and holding teams under 70 points. They got a great performance from Lamar Stevens, 25. Another really good performance from Tony Caro at 14 with no turnovers last night. Nazir Basta came off the bench with a couple of key buckets, big rebound, big block shot, 12 minutes. Mike Watkins, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 4 blocks. 3 of the 4 blocks were in the opening 5 minutes of the game. That planted the seed for the next 35 minutes. So, again, the ability of this young team to show you what it can be. Now they've got to find a level of consistency so they show that on a game-in and game-out basis. It takes time, but you can see the makings of it. Next up is Illinois. That's Saturday at 2 at the State Farm Center. And we have Shikellamy basketball tonight at Central Mountain. The Chief will be there. Sean Carey will be there. And the suit will be there. He'll sign autographs from 7 to 7.08, airtime 7.09.
All right. Speaking of the suit, here he is.
And what are your thoughts on tonight's game?
Well, it should be entertaining.
There you go. Save it for the broadcast. Awesome.
Yeah, a friend of mine said, you know, don't give it away all at once. No, listen, this is a big game for Shikellamy. They're right now hovering around the 4-5 spot in District 4 for the tournament. They do not want to have to come up and be like a 6 and have to drive to Athens. Even though this is a league game, they really don't have any league aspirations right now. This is all about setting yourself up for the tournament at the end of the season.
Okay.
I think that the biggest trouble that Central Mountain gives you is the fact that they have so many senior experienced players that can shoot the ball, like Brody Baker. He's a senior guard that averages double figures. Kyle Everhart averages double figures, but they're beatable. It's a team that really struggled with Shamokin. And Shamokin actually got the upset win at home against Central Mountain just over the weekend. So it's going to be a Central Mountain team that is hard to figure out right now.
You know, Athens, you need a boat or a plane, right?
Wrong kind of Athens. But it is a long trip, I'll say that. As a matter of fact, I think, hang on, I have the District 4 numbers here, as a matter of fact.
Talk about luck, Sean.
Well, here's the way it sits right now. Shikellamy is one game up on Milton for the 5 seed. If they're the 6 seed, they would have to travel to Athens, most likely. If they're the 5 seed, they have to travel to Danville. Both teams they have gotten handled by earlier in the season. But that was a different Shikellamy team back then. This is a team that has a lot more experience now. It was a very young team in December. Athens was the first game out of the box. Danville, I think, was game number 4. And right now, Shikellamy is playing some of their best basketball. And with Tate Krankowski back to full strength, he hit 3 big 3-pointers in the third period that started a 20-4 run in that third period on Saturday, and Shikellamy just pulled away.
I had a second question, but we're out of time. So
I even did it at a slow pace, like, because you always get on my case about being too excited about it. So I was a relaxed, slow pace even.
Chief was concerned he was too fast in the last segment. It's like, no, you were fine.
He was more insightful, though, I bet.
Chief was brilliant.
See? That's why he's my partner.
Crushed it.
Now, he also knew it was the only chance going to get to talk all night, so he thought he'd take it.
Also a possibility, yeah.
You guys are stopping at what, the Arby's?
Well, that's what we did. That's what we did the other week up in Jersey Shore. That was our Wednesday night feast.
Yeah, that Arby's hasn't even been there 10 years. They're on Allegheny Street.
What, the one in Lock Haven, or
no? You're talking about the one in Jersey Shore.
Well, we've been to the one. Yeah, I mean, Arby's is usually the stop for Lock Haven as well.
Well, it's Chief's favorite place in town.
That is true.
Yeah, he loves the fish sandwiches.
You can't beat the fish sandwich.
He went through a lot a couple of weeks ago. He was hurting pup, so at least you should do is stop there tonight.
Listen, 2 Wednesdays ago was the hardest I've ever had to work doing a basketball game. Not because I had to talk more, but because I felt so bad for my partner, who would look at me at about 2 minutes into the third quarter and go, "I'll be back." I didn't see him till the end of the game.
And he felt bad about it. He really, really did.
He was... The best part of the whole thing, though, is at the end, I always say, "Chief, give me your final thoughts on the game." And he usually has something profound to say. And not thinking, I said, "Chief, give me your final thoughts on the game." "Well, Kevin, I missed most of the second half, but it sounded like a good second half."
Oh, boy. So you guys are stopping where tonight?
I believe we'll go to the place that has the meats.
Yeah, you'll be going to Arby's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shikellamy basketball preview segment brought to you by Burger King.
Which the funny part in Lock Haven on the Flemington Lock Haven border, the Burger King is like a block away from Arby's. Yeah. It's just down the hill.
Oh boy!
And we were talking about Kevin's bowling antics to end the last segment. Ironically enough, your banner.
I have a picture of the banner.
Yeah, ironically enough, what's right next to Arby's? Clinton Lanes.
Clinton Lanes. Yeah. I have never bowled at that house.
I don't think they're depressed.
Hey, listen, that's the only banner I have in my entire life. That banner and 2 years on it. That's it. That's all I've got.
I've never seen it, so...
I have a picture. I'll be happy to show you.
Well, I'm surprised the times that you've gone out to cover Shikellamy Central Columbia, like you haven't screen-grabbed it and, you know, tweeted it and all that stuff. I've never seen it. No, I haven't. I've never seen it.
I'll be happy to send that. It was on Facebook a couple of weeks ago.
I've never seen it, but I'll take your word for it.
Actually, Chief had the best line of the night. He goes, you know, it was kind of a reunion for me going back to Central. It was the first time I've been there in a long, long time. And a lot of the people I graduated with were there, and they were saying hi. And Chief said, man, this is one of the rare times where you know more people than I do. And I said, yeah, that's exactly right. He goes, but there are more and more women coming up to you. He says on the broadcast, there are a lot of women coming up to you, a lot of really attractive women coming up to you today. I said, yeah, where were they 30 years ago?
And we're really officially the bottom of the abyss. All right, so
I won't have that problem tonight.
You didn't You didn't tell my line about his banner, did you?
Chief went around the corner and didn't actually hear it on air, but I told him, and he got a chuckle out.
Oh, please! I would love to hear.
No, I asked if there was a 300 on the banner. If you hit a 300,
no.
Yeah,
297.
Oh, okay.
297, 768. That's my high game, high series.
Nice.
Lifetime. Took me a lifetime to get to that, is what I mean.
Oh.
Well, there was a weight reference thrown in there, so.
Well, that was the biggest problem. They always say you got to bowl your weight. I said, my biggest, I might as well throw a 300 then every game. I'd be in great shape.
If you leave now, you'll be on time.
I was prepared to leave earlier.
If you leave now, you'll be on time.
Hey, I would love to say it's been great talking to you, Steve.
Well, you know it has.
You had a fun call last night, though, didn't you?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, they played well. Now, it's on to Illinois. When you do this job for a long time, you do get a Belichickian feeling about what you're doing. It's on to the next one.
Yeah, but there are some games that are just fun to call and fun to be, I don't want to say a part of, because that doesn't sound right, but fun to be involved in.
Oh, you enjoy it, and then you got another game. So I've already started working on Illinois today. I'm not fun, am I? You never think I'm fun. I don't look at things the same way you do.
5 years of sucking the fun out of sports. That should be the new slogan going into this sixth year of the Steve Jones Show.
Yeah, but now I've been on the show for close to a year, and I don't get that vibe from him. I don't get that.
Give him a couple more years.
No.
We've been having fun.
Yeah, it's been a blast.
Well, that's good. It's supposed to be.
Yes, it is supposed to be. How's everything going in digital media?
It's great. And you know what was even better is I spent the holidays winning the bowl pick segment. So it was enjoyable. It was an enjoyable December and January for me.
I don't quite know what the bowl pick thing has to do with digital media.
Nothing. I was just bragging that I won the bowl pick segment. That's all it was.
Well, usually a lot of free time and allows you to do a little bit more research than everybody else. When you pull yourself away from the movie theater, that's good.
I'm still kicking myself for Arkansas.
Arkansas State. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Why, you know, I broke the rule of pick the former FCS school.
Let it go. Take the crown. enjoy it, and let it go.
Hopefully between now and 7:09, you can sober up, do a good broadcast. All right.
Hey, have a good time, Steve. Thanks.
Our pleasure. I read the card exactly the way Drew said I should read it. Shikellamy and Central Mountain tonight. A 21-minute pregame show for a 32-minute game. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah, it was a great win last night, which we talked about earlier. It was a great win because of how it happened. It was a night where your veterans did not give you much. Shep Garner, 1-for-9. Peyton Banks, 0-for-4. 49 points from the three freshman starters. Lamar Stevens, Mike Watkins, Tony Carr. The three freshman starters for Maryland combined for 28. Cowan, Jackson, and Herter. In fact, the Philly players last night, the six Philly players combined for 65 of the 70 points. And they won it 70-64. Now they have Illinois coming off a big win at Northwestern last night. They tight game back and forth, down too late, then took the lead, took control, and won. Scotty Lindsey did not play for Northwestern last night, their top player. He has mono. And Illinois got a big win, and they're a team that does shoot better at home. There's no getting around it.
Steve, yesterday when we spoke with Nathan Davis, and last night too, when you're talking to Patrick Chambers on the network, you'd mentioned the February wall. Are you kind of seeing that with Northwestern, despite the top player not?
No, because they don't play freshmen. It's just that they really are a team that must have five guys play together. And Lindsey does so many things for them. That's a big loss for them to overcome. Now, they got Derek Pardon back, their big guy who can block some shots, run the floor, get some rebounds. Pardon's a pretty good player. In fact, I was talking to a couple of NBA scouts. They have been tracking Derek Pardon. But Lindsey is really been the guy who's been their best and most reliable scorer. And not having him last night hurt. They're actually a junior-oriented team. So it's not a question of anybody hitting the wall there. They're a junior-oriented team. They play one freshman, and that's it. And he backs up McIntosh, the point guard, who's a junior. So that does not enter into play for Northwestern. 2 years ago, it did. You know, when these guys were all freshmen, that he's playing now, and they've just kind of grown up together. Now they're juniors. It should not factor in. Although I thought Nathan Davis gave a great answer when it came to older players. He said they know how to fake it better. Well, that was a really big win for them last night. It'll be a good game on Saturday. But one of the areas is that was a Tuesday game. Now, same thing for Illinois. They have a Tuesday game as well, which was last night. But Pat gave them today off, and then they'll go tomorrow, they'll go Friday, and then they'll fly out to Champaign. Getting back-to-back days of practice has actually really helped this team. How many times have we heard Nathan Davis talk about like getting into the grind of games where they had to bunch a lot of them together in November, December. Remember that, Sean? And because the finals are a little bit earlier at Bucknell. And so they were playing games, getting a quick mini practice in, then playing a game, mini practice in, play a game. And he said what was hurting them is they weren't actually getting out there and getting into practice. Well, Penn State will get 2 days, tomorrow, Friday, for Illinois. Then they've got a quick turnaround to Nebraska, but then they got a week off. They get their second bye week in the Big Ten schedule. But that was, for them, an important win last night. Now they need to build upon it and find some consistency. And that's what they need, to find some consistency. And that's what you're looking for. Once they find some consistency, they will then become a really dangerous team. Something that's found interesting. For the most part, Penn State shot the three better than I thought they were this year. All right. More on that, more tomorrow. Don't forget to stay with WKOK for the latest weather forecast. We'll keep you up to date on any cancellations, closings, or delays tomorrow morning as the storm hits the area. Sean is going back home tonight. We'll be with a couple thousand of his closest friends. He'll bring the chief with him. And don't forget about the big 7 o'clock to 7:08 autograph session.
Your
with the
station
suit.
For news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.